2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Republicans have nominated Congressman Mike Johnson from Louisiana to be Speaker of the House, the fourth candidate for the job in just 2 weeks, says CBS's Nicole Killian on Capitol Hill.
Johnson was elected after House Republican Whip Tom Emmer couldn't secure enough support. Emmer was Speaker designate for about 4 hours before he withdrew from the race. Former President Trump called Emmer a rhino and said he would be a tragic mistake.
There could be a vote on Johnson's nomination as soon as this morning. It's not clear he has the 217 Republican votes to get the job.
Here it comes. Cave, a fly ball to right field. Over is Carroll. He's got it. And the Arizona Diamondbacks are headed to the World Series.
The call from TBS Sports. In fact, the Diamondbacks are going to the World Series for the first time in 22 years. They stunned the Philadelphia Phillies 4-2 in Game 7 of the National League Championship Series last night. Arizona will play the Texas Rangers for the world title. Game 1 set for Friday night. Israel appears to be getting closer to a ground invasion of Gaza, says CBS's Holly Williams.
The Israeli military says that they've already launched limited raids into Gaza to kill militants. But obviously something much bigger is expected, especially if you look at troops massed near the border with the Gaza Strip.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby acknowledges an invasion would cause collateral damage.
This is war. It is combat. It is bloody. It is ugly. And it's going to be messy. And innocent civilians are going to be hurt.
Hurricane Otis is now a catastrophic Category 5 storm and has made landfall near Acapulco. It could drop as much as 5 to 10 inches of rain on Guerrero State, with as much as 15 inches possible in some areas. Another strike in progress.
The St. Lawrence Seaway, a crucial marine shipping route that links the Great Lakes to the Atlantic Ocean, has been shut down after nearly 400 union workers went on strike. They want better pay to keep up with the rising cost of living.
If it wasn't for the St. Lawrence Seaway, the Lakes region and the rest of the world would not be connected the way they are with the seaway there.
Aaron Benziger is with Chicago-based Central Marine Logistics.
CBS's Jim Krasula. NHL players are going to be allowed to use pride tape this season. The league and the players' union agreed to give players the option to represent societal causes with stick tape during warm-ups, practices, and at games. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
It's my dad has a cold.
I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. All of Wisconsin's Republicans in the U.S. House are praising new Speaker Mike Johnson. Scott Fitzgerald calls Johnson an honest congressman with strong conservative values. Democrat Mark Pocan says Johnson works against gay rights and reproductive rights.
Well, I can tell you he's definitely going to fit the mainstream of MAGA America.
That's Pocan speaking with Civic Media's The Devil's Advocate show. The University of Wisconsin in Platteville says staffing cuts will save the campus about $9 million. UWP announced yesterday it's cutting its workforce by 111. Oshkosh, Green Bay, and Parkside are also laying people off. Richland Center, Fond du Lac, and West Bend are closing. In all, UWP will reduce its number of staff by over 12%. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Craig Council has a job interview. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers granted permission allowing Craig Council to meet with the Mets about their opening at manager. Now, the Mets have David Stearns now as the team president. The team owner, Steve Cohn, spent over $350 million this year in player salaries. Meanwhile, Brewer GM Matt Arnold asked if there's any timetable in the talks.
I really don't want to put a timetable on it for Craig out of respect to him and the opportunity he has here. here. You know, I want what's best for Craig, first and foremost, and I obviously want that to be here with the Brewers.
NBA, the Bucks open the season tonight against the 76ers. The tip-off time at Five Surf Forum, 6:30. College football, the Badgers in Ohio State, Saturday night at 6:30. Sunday, it's the Packers looking to snap a three-game losing streak at home when they host the Vikings. Quarterback Jordan Love.
No, it's definitely something that we're looking forward to this week. It's just getting back at home, getting back in Lambeau, you know, having our crowd, you know, behind us.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds and showers and storms in the overnight. We'll see temperatures dropping to 49 degrees by daybreak. Our winds turning to the northwest Friday. That means falling temperatures behind a powerful cold front. Some early showers, then mostly cloudy skies near 40 by the late afternoon. Right now, it's 58.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Tell that long-tongued liar. Welcome your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making, and as usual, there was a lot of it being made. We're going to start with a speaker, the new speaker, Mike Johnson of Louisiana. There's a lot of developments. Donald Trump took credit for him, came right out and said he's speaker because I put him in. I killed Emmer. I put him in. He's Trump's guy. Mitch McConnell said that he never met him. Never met him. Susan Collins said she had to Google him. He's been in the House since 2017. He was the architect of much of the denialism in the House, believe it or not, even though he's only been there a few years. Remember the amicus brief, or they call it amicus brief, signed by 100 congressmen to the United States Supreme Court, supporting the frivolous lawsuit of the Texas Secretary of State, who said Texas would like to overturn the votes in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Right out of thin air, 100 congressmen signed on to that brief, but the one name that was on the cover of the brief was Mike Johnson. It said Mike Johnson and 100 other congressmen did it. This guy was in it up to his eyeballs. After he was elected, Joe Biden called on the House to, quote, act responsibly and to, quote, be above any partisanship. There was an ABC News reporter, Rachel Scott. She asked Mike Johnson about his attempts to overturn the 2020 election. And he was standing in a group of Republican congressmen, and they all shouted, shut up, to the reporter, to Rachel Scott. Some of them laughed. Some of them shouted. Lauren Boebert said, oh, God. Steve Scalise just laughed. The others booed or said, shut up. Johnson laughed and he said, next question. Next question. That's what he said. The Washington Post had a great article. They said that Mike Johnson played a central role in trying to overturn the 2020 election, not just with the amicus brief, or the brief in support of the Secretary of State of Texas. Because the Supreme Court, even the six tarantulas, looked at that, and they had to say, look, there's no standing there. That's a legal term. But what it means by no standing is that who the hell are you? That's what it means. That's a technical, fancy name for no standing. Who are you? Who the heck asked you to butt your nose in our business? The last time Texas did that was in 1860. They didn't like Abraham Lincoln's election either. They didn't like his election either. There's a lot wrong with this guy. But one of the things that bothers me the most, I got to say, is when I first Googled him, I didn't know who he was either. Took a good look at him. Didn't like what I saw, but, you know, he seemed like an affable guy. Who knows? He took all these right-wing positions. Maybe he'd grown up. But I realized after I looked at him a little more that it goes a lot deeper than just election denialism, because he was strongly for the fake electors. He was strongly for the Texas lawsuit that got thrown out of the Supreme Court. And he was basically Trump's lackey, Trump's guy. And now Trump put him in. And there's a couple of things. First of all, what really frosts me is that most of the Republican caucus, most of them, had supported Emmer, but he didn't have 217. And they had their orders from Trump. The right wing in the Republican Party, at Trump's order, exercises a veto power. That's what they do. So in other words, you put up anybody that they don't like, and they will veto it. On the other hand, the moderates don't veto. Yes, they did vote against
Jim Jordan. I think we're back on the line. We had some tech difficulties. And now we're back on the line. And I don't have to broadcast the show off my cell phone, which is what I was doing. So, the right wing, the MAGA types, will veto anybody that Trump doesn't want. They veto. At the same time, if the moderate people don't like somebody on the other side, they go, well, please, please don't veto our people. The only exception was they did stand tall against Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan. And they stood tall against him, in my view, not just because he was right wing as hell, because all six but this guy comes along and he's smooth as silk. He's very, very smooth. But I'm beginning to think, and I have good reason to think this, that he is more dangerous than I thought. Elon Musk, and I'll get to the lines. I see you. Do not hang up. Elon Musk just reacted to a statement that Mike Johnson had made. Mike Johnson said, quote, "Twitter was basically an FBI subsidiary before Musk took over. This should be a matter of bipartisan concern because it is a bedrock principle of our Constitution that the government does not get to decide what speech is acceptable or true." This is total bull. This is total baloney. What Musk did was he got rid of filters for fraudulent stuff. For Russia, China, Iran, ISIS. And he said, you're a verified person if you pay him a fee. Before that, your identity had to be verified. For Ron Johnson, now I'm going to go to the lines, but for Ron Johnson, and I should say Mike Johnson, there's so many bad Johnsons. God, there are a lot of bad Johnsons. But Mike Johnson, for him to take a shot at the FBI, which is pure Trump, and then say that it's great that Musk is now letting really unverified by identity people on X, which used to be Twitter, is very, very disturbing. We're going to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bill?
No, I wish. I was just going to eat, and you brought up Ron Johnson. Now, there goes my appetite. But remember, there was a comedian that used to say, you call me Ray, you can call me Jay, but your dad can call me Johnson. And that is so true with the Republicans. This Mike Johnson, in your estimation, can we label him a domestic terrorist?
I think what he has done does meet that description on this specific fact, Bill. He was walking around with the fake electors in his pocket, and including the Michigan electors. And this was all a scam. He doesn't represent Michigan. the fake electors in Michigan are being prosecuted by Dana Nessel, their great attorney general. The fake electors in Wisconsin are not being prosecuted at all by our attorney general, and they should be. But if a guy is hip deep in the fake electors business, hip deep in the fake electors business, and he is going to run free. And not only that, the minute he realized he wasn't being prosecuted, he started to take shots at the Democrats, saying, for instance, that that on the Wisconsin Election Commission, Megan Wolf, you know, should not continue to serve. I forget if he said anything about Janet Protasiewicz. These people have no shame. The minute you let them off the hook, the minute you show any mercy to them whatsoever, they're emboldened. So, yeah, I mean, I would call it treason. I would call it treason because terrorist has a connotation of violence, and I don't think he is violent, but I think it's treasonous to do the fake elector deal. And that is exactly what he did. And so that's Ron Johnson. But I know, Bill, you and I have talked about Ron Johnson a lot, and that's another Johnson I don't want to talk about, but this is Mike Johnson. So I got to say that when I first looked at him yesterday, I go, well, you know, at least he's polite. And so he tries to suck you in. At least he's polite. At least he was polite to Hakeem Jeffries, to Kevin McCarthy, thanked them, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, he cares about his wife. This is all good stuff. I initially thought that this is a guy. And the other thing I'll say before I give you my conclusion, this fellow Buck, this Colorado guy who I think is right wing, but he's also not an election denier. And he said that when Mike Johnson first came, you know, he thought that basically he was okay. And now he's changed. But he in the final analysis, he was concerned. He was sure, this is Buck, that Johnson wouldn't do it again. And there was the fake elector business. And there's another one, this fellow, I think it was Dent from Pennsylvania, gave an interview, said, hey, when the guy came, when Mike Johnson came in 2017, he wasn't a bad guy. And so maybe he'll revert to being a good guy. So I was lulled. I was lulled into sleep over this. I'm no longer lulled because when issuing a public statement attacking the FBI, that's pure Trump. And when he is praising Elon Musk for getting rid of filters and letting China, Russia, Iran, ISIS, anybody they want to post, if they pay a fee, they don't have to authenticate their identity anymore on X, which used to be Twitter. For him to praise that, leads me to this conclusion. Stillwater runs deep. He is deeper into the Trump baloney than I had figured. And what I'm very, very concerned, we're going to talk about a little more later in the show, that he will not permit a resolution to give aid to Ukraine. And I do not want him in charge of the House after the 2024 election. I will explain that after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Made black and white. What's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long tongue liar.
93.5 The Tap.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to follow up on what I was talking to Bill about on Mike Johnson. Here is my real concern. I don't think this character, I think he's a Trump slave, and I don't think this character is going to put on any bill on the floor for Ukraine, even though 150 Republicans want it, and 150 or more Democrats want it. He won't do it to obey Trump. But the thing that really bothers me, and I'll go to the lines, I'll see you on the lines, do not hang up. What I really want is this. Everybody should pay this attention to what happens if this guy is the speaker, as Nancy Pelosi was the speaker after the last election. 2024 comes. Biden wins, beats Trump by 8 million votes next time, 9 million votes, beats him by 60 votes in the Electoral College. But the margins are close. So he wins Wisconsin by 20,000. Biden does. He wins Michigan by over 100,000. I don't think that's particularly close. He wins Georgia by 14,000. He wins Arizona in the low teens, somewhere 12 or 14. And they pull the same stuff under the independent legislature theory. Only this time, the Senate is supposed to receive the electoral votes, but they have to receive them in the House of Representatives. The Senate comes over to the House to receive them. This character, Mike Johnson, runs the House. He closed it. He says, no, nobody's coming over. I think there's fraud. Shuts everything down. The Republicans will back him up if Trump loses. It'll then go to the U.S. Supreme Court, to the six tarantulas. This is a very, very dangerous circumstance, and nothing that this guy has done so far leads me to believe at all that he can be trusted in the counting of the votes, the electoral votes, after the 2024 election. Go to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Gene?
Thank you, Matt. Wonderful show as usual. Thank you so much for spending 2 hours with us every day because we are getting enlightened every day. And thank you so much for all you do for us and
thank you,
helping our state and country, Matt. You are a true statesman. I'm calling today because, you know, I've seen that guy before, and I was really concerned. But I thought, oh, geez, I got a really bad attitude. Maybe I better give this guy a chance. But then as I learned more and more, I have the same feeling. And however, there's also alerts from all over our country from former Republicans saying, people, this is not the Republican Party. This is a takeover. Then I've heard some really intelligent woman saying that this guy's a Republican Taliban. Because he's definitely not for women's rights. And in all honesty, that's true. You know, I mean, right. No Republican is anymore. But this is not the Republican Party. This is a bad news party that's trying to take. They sunk our state. But we got good guys still fighting there, but they took a lot of their power away. But they did a lot of damage in the state of Wisconsin, and they're still going after our educational departments and things like that in our colleges. But besides that, they're attacking the United States of America from the inside out, and I'm not going to give up on that statement because that's what they're doing, and we have to fight back, and we cannot vote. We cannot vote for a person with the R after their name because there was not one person that voted against that guy.
Right. No, you hit the nail on the head. And let me think about this, Gene, and everybody else. You saw how magnificent Nancy Pelosi was on January 6th. Remember when they were going to be accepting the electoral votes? It was just a very ministerial, normal thing. She and Schumer were magnificent. They were safe in a secure place. They made sure that the vote went on. They made sure they accepted the electoral votes. Now, fast forward, imagine that Mike Johnson had been there instead of Nancy Pelosi. There are many things he could do easily under the appearance of law to thwart the whole process. He could, for instance, say, uh-oh, there's danger, and send the Congress home. Yeah, he could do that. He could say, the Senate can't come into the House to receive the votes because I'm the Speaker and I think that it's too dangerous. And then a couple of weeks go by and he doesn't convene the House again. Then January 20 comes by and technically Biden won, but he's not technically still president. And they call a constitutional crisis. Or he says, I, as Speaker, think there was fraud. That's what he said in 2020. He'd only been in the Congress 2 years. 2 years. 2 years. And he goes, well, I think there's fraud. But as Speaker, if he simply says, I urge my colleagues to vote against this and we'll send it back to the states and they'll get it right. The problem with that is when there's a dispute, and even a fake dispute, on electoral votes, and it goes to the states, every state gets one vote. You don't vote proportionally by how many congressmen you have. So California would get one vote. Wyoming would get one vote. New York would get one vote. And Idaho would get one vote. And if you do the math, there are 50 states, and more than half of them have Republican majorities, and Trump would be president. Then we would go to the U.S. Supreme Court. What do you think Clarence Thomas would say about that? What do you think Alito would say about that? What do you think Gorsuch would say about that? Or Kavanaugh? I don't know what Amy Coney Barrett would say about that. But there's five right there, and they could, in effect, appoint the president of the United States, which they did in the year 2000, when Gore was ahead in Florida, and they shut down the counting, and they wouldn't let a recount. And they just said, George W. Bush is president, just like that, of their own party. On the audit afterwards, it showed that Gore won Florida. Therefore, he won the electoral votes, and he'd won the vote nationally anyway by over 300,000. The Supreme Court, the Republicans on the Supreme Court, picked the president of the United States in the year 2000. And with this character in there now, there's the danger that that could happen again. I have absolutely no confidence, none whatsoever, none, that the moderates in the Republican Party would stand up to him. All six, including Gallagher, Stile, who fancy themselves moderates, all six voted for Jordan, and all six voted this time around for Mike Johnson. They will not buck the trend because they like being in Congress, and they're afraid that Donald Trump will endorse their opponent in a primary, and they will have to go back home and go to work on something. That's what's happening. We're coming to a break. I see you on the lines. Those of you called in, do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Once you told me long ago, to the prom with me you'd go. Now you've changed your mind, it seems. Someone else will hold my dreams. A white sport coat and a pink carnation.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News Brief, a very busy night of news, starting with the ongoing manhunt in Maine for that suspect in the Lewiston shootings of last night that took at least 18 lives.
Military officials say the Army Reserve Sergeant was admitted to a psychiatric hospital this summer after exhibiting erratic behavior and threatening to kill fellow soldiers.
CBS's Mike Sullivan. In the Middle East, President Biden ordered and the military carried out airstrikes on two locations in eastern Syria linked to Iran's Revolutionary Guard. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says it is in response response to ongoing attacks against U.S. personnel, echoing earlier Pentagon statement from Brigadier General Pat Ryder.
U.S. and coalition forces have been attacked at least 12 separate times in Iraq, 4 separate times in Syria.
In Western Maryland, after the discovery of the man suspected in last week's shooting death of a circuit judge,
everybody should feel a little bit better tonight.
Washington County, Maryland Sheriff Brian Albert, CBS News Brief. I'm Tom Foti.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Weather experts say climate change is making October nights in the Midwest feel warmer more often than not. A new analysis from the nonprofit Climate Central says fall evening temperatures in the U.S. have warmed by nearly 2 degrees on average since 1970. In Madison and Milwaukee, it's closer to 4 degrees. Scientists say mosquitoes are thriving and people with respiratory issues like asthma are suffering. A committee in the state assembly held a public hearing Thursday on a bill that would fine public universities for violating someone's free speech. Under the bill, any Universities of Wisconsin school that is found by a court of violating someone's free speech will get a $500 fine. The school would also be charged $50 a day if the violation continues. If passed by the legislature, the bill would almost certainly be vetoed by Governor Evers. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds and showers and storms in the overnight. We'll see temperatures dropping to 49 degrees by daybreak. Our winds turning to the northwest Friday. That means falling temperatures behind a powerful cold front. Some early showers, then mostly cloudy skies near 40 by the late afternoon. Right now, it's 58.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the...
93.5 The Tap.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now we go right to the lines. Andrew of Detroit, Michigan. Andrew, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt, I think we're in trouble this time with this speaker. I don't know. You know, in hindsight, maybe the Democrats should have worked to keep that speaker pro tem. It sounds like he would have been a better choice now. I don't know what we do now. I don't know what we do now. I guess the first thing to do is wait to see what happens with avoiding the shutdown. And then I don't know. Maybe the Democrats have to go after this guy to get him out of there somehow. But I don't know. I think we're in trouble this time. I'm afraid. I'm really afraid. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks for the comments. Let me kind of buck your spirits up a little bit. Here's the deal. This guy, he's very smooth. And, you know, in a way, he's sort of a Tartuffe type of guy, you know, pretends to be holier than thou and all sorts of stuff. And, okay, that's his own business. But the proof of the pudding is going to be coming up. As you say, are we going to have a shutdown on November 17? I can't believe we are, because if he comes in a new speaker and then he shuts us down, I don't see how the Republicans can weather that in the upcoming elections. But the problem is these people don't negotiate. They don't negotiate. They lay down the law and they say, okay, blow it up if you don't like it. That's what they said with Emmer. Emmer had, you know, 200 votes, maybe more. But Trump said no for Emmer because he was not an election denier. And they just said, fine, we won't have a speaker then. So Mike Johnson comes in, Trump endorses him. Most of the moderates didn't want him, but they don't have the same negotiating tactics. When it comes to shutting down the government, what I'm afraid is he'll say real smooth, I don't want to shut down the government. Here's the budget. And you'll go, hey, wait a minute. That's not the budget that Biden and McCarthy agreed to this spring. That has cuts in childcare, Social Security, all this kind of stuff. And he'll smile. He's sort of like, in a way, like Scott Walker. I mean, he reminds me of that. In other words, very quiet and polite, unnervingly polite all the time. People who are unnervingly polite behind that kind of facade, there's some very, they have a lot of inner weasels, and they have too many inner weasels, quite frankly. And so, and what if he says that? All right, McCarthy and Biden agreed on no inflationary increase this year, which is really like a 5% cut. That's what they did. He says, that's not enough. I want a 10% cut, or we shut down. And Schumer says he's never, or Moscow Mitch said he never met him. The Republicans in the Senate don't want to go along with that. What do you do? At some point, you have to have a discharge petition for the correct budget. But that's going to take five Republicans. And if the five Republicans, as our people are in this state, are afraid of Trump because of what he did. An example, Robin Voss. Robin Voss is the speaker. I don't particularly like him, and I don't agree with anything he does. But the guy running against him was 29 years old and had no experience, and he almost beat him because Trump gave the word. This fear of Trump in the moderate wing of the Republican Party. So I'm going to look at the budget. I'm going to look at Ukraine. If this guy says no to Ukraine, because we have a segment here in Ukraine, which we may be able to get to today, Ukraine is doing very well. And newsflash, I do not know how much credence to put in this. But as I went on the air, there was an article that said that Putin had a heart attack on Sunday. Now, it didn't say how serious. It implied it was serious. Said he's in an emergency facility in his own home. They built him a little hospital. He's hooked up to machines. There's a bunch of them talking about who his successor will be. This can be absolute baloney, but it's being reported right now. This is not the time to cut off Ukraine from American support. But if this guy is a little Tartuffe, sort of a Scott Walker type of guy, I don't know what he'll do. Then the other thing is, as he goes along, he can put in all the right-wing bills he wants. They're not going to pass in this Congress. The moderates can't possibly vote for some of the crazy stuff he wants. So let him do that. But if he also doesn't put on the floor even permission to even vote on or discuss things that 350 or 400 congressmen wants, and he gets away with that, then I will be very concerned, quite frankly, when he's basically the Nancy Pelosi of the House. The next time there are insurrectionists milling around and allegations of fraud. We're going to the lines. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Mark from the SAC?
Well, the next time around, Joe Biden is president of the United States, and the insurrectionists don't get their asses in the Capitol in the first place. You know, Joe Biden mobilizes the National Guard if they need to protect the Capitol from these insurrectionists. And daily, people should be reminding these Republicans to adhere to the oath they took to the Constitution. You know, the literally bent of my mind made me go out and check out Dante's Inferno, and the oath breakers are consigned to the ninth circle of hell. And that, and you have to, they take an oath to the Constitution as what it says, not what they wish it says, there's no freedom of religion anymore. There's freedom of religion in this country. There's no religious tests in this country. That the 14th right. Amendment says that they're supposed to protect our right to vote and have those votes recognized, and any abridgment of that is a violation of that right. And, right. you know, that.
Well, here's the deal, Mark. I love, all you always have something from ancient Rome or Dante, which is terrific. I love this stuff. That said, you're right. They should be in the ninth circle of hell. Most of these people would steal the penny off the dead man's eyes. Most of these people would stab their own grandmothers if it could keep them in the Congress. Because what they prize above all is walking down marble hallways and giving press conferences and looking important. They will do anything to do that. They will do anything not to have to go back home and find the job. Anything. Anything, including betraying their country. There are a few who didn't. Liz Cheney didn't. She stood tall. Adam Kinzinger stood tall. I think Mitt Romney stood tall, and now he's leaving the Senate. But I wish that they abided by their oaths. I have absolutely no, not zero, not a scintilla of hope that they will abide by anything other than pleasing Trump and staying in office. That's all they want. That's all they want. In fact, speaking of Trump, I have an idea. That judge in New York fined him 10 grand. Now his lawyers are complaining and they're going, well, no, he really in good faith thought he was referring to Cohen, Michael Cohen, and not the clerk. That's baloney. I think it's a lie. But here's my thought. This judge may have found a way to rein him in that the others didn't by humiliating him, because he got very red-faced and then he got angry and he ran out. The Secret Service had to chase him. He's losing his cool. The next time he does it, he goes after the clerk or goes after a juror, a witness, the judge could fine him 100 grand. But you know what he could also do? He could say, I'm going to put you in jail, but only for 5 days. And we have a holding cell right here, and we have another one for the Secret Service. So you'll be protected. And you put him in, and then you let the media go back and put him on TV like an orangutan in a cage. Humiliate him. That's what you must do. We're going to the lines. Julie of Kenosha, you're next, my friend. What's on your mind today, Julie?
Hi, Matt. I have this great big question. Why is every Republican afraid of Trump? What is there that they're afraid of?
You know, that's a great question, and I'll give you the answer. They're afraid of a primary, and you would think, well, a lot of these Republicans are well-entrenched. They have money. They don't have to worry. Robin Voss was well-entrenched, and he had a lot of money. And he's running for re-election to the state assembly, which in and of itself is not a particularly high office, although he's the speaker, so that makes it a high office. But he's the speaker in a gerrymandered legislature, and gerrymanders have a bad effect in a couple of ways. Yes, they ensure the reelection of a Republican, but they put up a guy who is 29 years old, I forget his name, absolutely undistinguished. I have no idea what he ever accomplished in the world, and all he did was walk around Mount Pleasant and that area and go, Donald Trump endorsed me. And he didn't endorse Voss. And he got 49%. He may have gotten 49.1 or 2%. That sends shivers down these people's spines. They're afraid they will lose their congressional seats. They're afraid. And remember something. Among those kinds of people, when the TV lights go off, they disappear. It's a cold, dark universe. They go right out in the stratosphere. They're never heard of again. They live to be on TV. They live to walk into restaurants and have people nod and smile and say, that's an important guy. That's all they want. And Trump can cost them that. That is the problem. Excellent question. I ask it myself, but that's my conclusion. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind, Wisco Paul?
Good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. Yesterday, the Republican Party, I don't think still exists, is now the party of Trump, megas, whatever you want to call it, but they gave to the man, which means he has the new speaker's ear, and that's not a good thing. But all roads lead back to a very important thing. Judge Janet, fair maps. Without fair maps, well, let's put it this way. If you get fair maps, a lot of this will be done away with. Because when you have swing districts, that means you don't have to worry about being primary. And they're all, actually in both parties, they kind of lose control of that guy. So always remember fair maps. That's why the Republicans in this state don't want them, because they're, you know, they're almost guaranteed their job. But the biggest problem here is Trump has the speaker's ear, and I don't know where we're going from here. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, Paul. Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. And, you know, frankly, the absence of fair maps, it's not only wrong, I think immoral, and it gives the Republicans in the state and the Senate a veto-proof majority, two-thirds, and the Assembly two seats short of a veto-proof majority. And so as a result, what you have is Voss as Speaker, LeMahieu as the head of the Senate. You have the University of Wisconsin being driven down, in prestige, in educational resources. They keep starving it. Everything else as well. We have cancer-causing chemicals in all our water now, PFAS, the forever chemicals, because of gerrymandering. The time's going to come when, I mean, in a lot of places in the state, you can only eat like one fish a month or something, or one fish a week, depending on the fish. They have cancer in them. Because of the Republican Party. But the thing about it is that the other effect of gerrymandering is the people who do get elected go to the extremes of their party to avoid primaries. That's true in the Republican Party. It's also true in the Democratic Party. If you had fair maps and you had to put up a candidate in your party, Democrat or Republican, in a 50-50 district who had to get a majority of the votes, he or she is going to have to take into account the common good of everybody. And you're going to have people, the kinds of people we had when we had fair maps when I was coming up in politics in the 80s and 90s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. You had giants. On the Democratic side, you had Bill Proxmire. He was statewide, so that's not a gerrymandering thing, but he was exceptional. Pat Lucey, the governor, but you had Les Aspin. You had people like Henry Royce. You had people like Jerry Klitschko, terrific people. And on the Republican side, you had Mel Laird and Bill Steiger. These were people who cared about everybody. And nowadays, we do not have that. And that is because of gerrymandering in the state, and it's because of Donald Trump. Donald Trump threatens. He doesn't just threaten witnesses and clerks. He threatens congressmen and senators with primaries, and they chicken out, because their entire existence exists with the light of a TV camera. And if that is taken away from them and they're no longer in office, they are nothing. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt for the Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to follow up on the idea of Trump and that judge in New York. Nobody has been able to corral this guy so far, except maybe that judge. And here's the reason. Why do you think that Trump is physically attending that civil trial in New York and just blowing off appearances and blowing off anything to do with the criminal cases? It's because in the criminal cases, if he's elected president, with the federal criminal cases, he'll have his attorney general dismiss them. You'll get a guy like Crooked William Barr or Lying Mike Pompeo to go in and do that. Crooked Donald Trump will protect himself. He'll self-deal. It's true that in Atlanta, that's a state case, and he can't do it there. But I think he'll think, well, then I'll be president of the United States, and I'll blow them out of the water. But the thing about the New York case, even though it's only civil fraud, this judge has already entered a summary judgment against him on liability. They're only talking about damages. And Letitia James is asking for $250 million. And the judge is getting ticked off at Trump by constantly being insulted by him, by having him insult his clerk. That judge could easily enter a judgment for $250 million. He easily could enter one for $500 million. That's a big number. This, you know, Trump is not Bezos or Gates or Musk. And he claims he has a few billion. I think a lot of it's funny money, a lot of money he owes to Russia. But if he has to eat a $250 or $500 million verdict for fraud, that gets reduced to judgment. It may be against his properties, it may be against him personally, maybe against both. If he tries any funny stuff like shift the money around and take it out of his properties, there are plenty of good bankruptcy lawyers who will chase him to the end of the earth. If he is stripped of that kind of money, it's absolutely humiliating. And number two, that takes a lot of the money that he has, especially cash. He'd have to come up with cash. He'd have to come up with cash or convey assets that everybody agreed on the cash value. So my concept with this Erdogan of New York is that Trump mouths off again about his clerk, for instance. And, you know, this clerk is not a wealthy, I assume, not a wealthy person. She can't afford security. Mitt Romney's paying $5,000 a day for security out of his own pocket. This clerk, I assume, takes the subway to work. It gets dark in New York at 4:30 or 5 in the afternoon. She's going to take what, a subway home in the dark? When a guy that has 50 million followers is tweeting her picture and saying that she's the reason? The clerk, for Pete's sake. I mean, the clerk has no independent discretion. The clerk simply writes what the judge, if she's a law clerk, she writes what the judge tells her to write. And if she's a calendar clerk, she will simply keep track of appointments. And she's supposed to worry about taking a subway home in New York This is wrong. This is very, very wrong. What I think the judge might want to consider next time is everybody goes, oh, you can't throw him in jail, right? Ah, you can't throw him in jail because he's a former president. He's running. Okay. Where's the Secret Service going to sit to protect him? Well, you or I would be thrown in jail if we had done what he just did. But there's an intermediary thing. You can say, all right, Mr. Trump, I'm putting you in jail for contempt for 5 days. And I'm going to clear the cells out. You're going to have your own cell, and the Secret Service will be on either side, or they can sit in your cell if you want them to. They can taste your food if you want them to. But he can let in the media. He has the right to do that. In New York especially, they used to do what's called a perp walk. Have you ever heard of a perp walk? What happens is they're going to arraign somebody, you know, a bad guy, a killer, whatever. And somebody from the New York Times, the New York Post calls them and says, hey, can you hold off 10 minutes? I'm stuck in traffic. Seriously. And they go, well, not really, because the judge wants us there at a certain time. So they bring him in, but then they perp walk him afterwards so they can get a picture for the newspaper. They take the guy out, walk him around the block again. He has his suit jacket over his head. I mean, that there were some judges that didn't like that, and I think it ultimately got enjoined. But you could do that for him. You could say, all right, there's going to be a motion from the press. Let us back there and take pictures of the orangutan in the jail cell. And he'll say, okay, go ahead. And they'll go back and they'll take pictures of him. And, you know, he's not going to be like in the old movies. He'd be taking his shoe and raking it across the bars and shouting, you dirty screws. He's not going to do that. But he's going to sit there looking angry as hell behind bars. He must be humiliated. He has a very, very weak ego, a very weak ego. He's very insecure, very nasty individual, lying Donald Trump, crooked Donald Trump. And I think it's going to take something like that, absolutely take something like that. And that's what I think the judge should consider. All right, Dick of Madison, we're going to squeeze in a quick call before we go to the break. My friend, what's on your mind today?
Well, Matt, the other thing that's a joke about that is just last week, he was crying and alforlorn about the fact that he couldn't be out on the campaign trail. Yes, you could. The judge could have informed him, too, that, and maybe he did, that there's no reason for you to be here, sir. In fact, we'd rather carry this on without you because you're nothing but, you know, I mean, it's a joke. And then he made such a fool of himself yesterday because his people, correct me if I'm wrong, they're trying to make Cohen look bad. And okay, yeah, Cohen's got his baggage, but he was calm, cool, and collective, and he went off like, you know, like he always does. So which is it? Do you really want to be on the campaign trail, or do you just want to be wreaking havoc in the courtroom?
Right. No, you're absolutely right. What Dick is saying, just so everybody knows, Trump does not have to physically be in the courtroom in a civil case. In a criminal case, he can waive his appearance, but the judge has to approve it. And so the judge might not approve. In a civil case, he doesn't have to show up, especially in what's called the bench trial. So Trump, frankly, lied when he said, I have to be here, I'd like to campaign. And then it turned out he was going to a golf tournament. So he does that all the time. And one final thing before we go to the break to keep in mind. When Trump went on the stand and said, I was referring to Michael Cohen and not your clerk, the judge said that has no credibility and he fined him 10 grand. To say somebody has no credibility under oath is to say he's lying. Judges don't like to say that. Lawyers don't like to say that. But Trump was, frankly, lying, and that's why he got fined. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
I was born in the soul of misery. Never had me a name.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
My My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.